Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 83, with Sarah Kornack and Bethann Schwamberger. Today on the show, we're talking with Kat Simpson of ThatKat.com. Kat is an e-commerce expert. She's been selling online since 1997. She has experience on many different platforms, but today we dive in to eBay. We quiz her on all a beginning seller would need to know to get started on eBay, and she is full of great information. I also left in a little interruption, a little blooper early in the episode, just to give you guys a little taste of what podcasting is really like for Bethann and I. It's not all closed doors and soundproof room and fancy equipment. It's real life motherhood recording this podcast. So I left that in for you this time, and I hope you enjoy it. We're so glad that you have tuned in today. So let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the podcast, we are so excited to welcome Kat Simpson. When Kat's husband became permanently disabled, she knew she had to focus on her business to support her family. Kat chose selling on the web and eBay as her way to make an income. She's been doing business online since 1997 and is the owner of Kat's Boutique. Her stores can be found on eBay and Amazon, and she's a shooting star seller on eBay with over 15,000 reviews from buyers. Kat now helps other online entrepreneurs to grow their businesses. She lives in Arkansas with a dog, two cats, her husband, and has five children and five grandchildren. So welcome to the show, Kat.
Hi, thanks for the welcome. It's good to be here.
Kat, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and about how you got started selling on eBay?
Well, it's really a funny story. I was one of those women who did the Beanie Baby craze back in the day. I had my young children at home, and my neighbor started collecting these silly little stuffed animals called Beanie Babies, and she used to borrow my children to help stand in line so she could get more Beanie Babies. And I got intrigued with this whole concept and started buying and selling them on the web. So I was that lady in the parking lot trying to buy the Princess Beanie Babies out the back door.
So from there, Kat, how did you grow your shop on eBay and get more sales?
Well, eBay's a great option for a military wife, and that's what I was at the time. So we picked up stakes and left, you know, about every 2 or 3 years. It's hard to have a career there, but eBay allows you to take all that with you. So I would get real busy on eBay and sell a lot of things from the children's outgrown stuff and toys and yard sales and thrift stores. And then we'd move, and I wouldn't do it for 6 months or a year, and then I'd pick it up again. So eBay was really flexible that way. I could always go back to selling on eBay when I had the time. And if I got really busy with the children and activities and moving, it would wait for me to get back. So it was a great option for a moving around lifestyle.
Oh, I'm sorry. I hear Sullivan up there. He's supposed to be having his nap time now, but he's calling for me. I'm so sorry. Bethann, you can ask a question and I'll be right back.
Okay.
I love this. See, this is what I like to do is help moms stay home with their babies. So I love that.
Yeah, that is totally us. We are true to our podcast name.
Yep.
Sarah and I both have preschoolers at home, so they usually are napping when we're doing podcast interviews.
But naps are so unpredictable. I get it, but that was my favorite time of day.
Yeah, that's true. That it's that precious hour or so of peace and quiet. It's wonderful.
That was what was so good to get back to. That's exactly what was so good about eBay is, you know, if the children were sick or I had a busy football season or soccer season with one of them, I could put eBay on the back burner and, you know, do a little bit. And then when they were busy in school and they got older, especially, I could really work as much as I wanted to. So it works during your lifestyle phases as you want it to.
That's great. And so in terms of those time periods where you were less active and then you would get busy again, did you find that just simply listing that product that people wanted to buy, was that enough to get those new customers back into your shop? Or did you have to do other things to get those customers back?
Well, I've been on eBay since 1997, and there have been a lot of changes. The advice I give eBay sellers now is very different than the advice I gave them, you know, years ago. And did just listing the stuff, is that enough? It used to be yes. In fact, I would tell people, don't be going out spending a lot of time to get people to your eBay listings. You're paying eBay to do that. But that was 5-10 years ago. Nowadays, just listing the stuff and letting eBay bring the traffic is not good enough. For one thing, eBay and Google are not getting along. So the two of them, Google is not a real good friend of eBay. eBay's not spending the money to buy the ads, and the natural traffic from Google is not like it used to be. So that's one issue. Second issue is that eBay has a new search engine. They call it Cassini, and it's supposed to be an intelligent learning algorithm for searching. And my joke is that I wish it would hurry up and learn and grow up before it kills all of our small businesses. Very difficult to find anything. Anybody that has been a seller or a buyer on eBay in the last year and a half, since they instituted Cassini will tell you it's difficult to find stuff on the eBay site now. So you're up against two big changes, and just listing your things on eBay now is not enough. You have that one in a million painting that you found at a yard sale that's worth $10,000 and you're listing it for $10,000, the buyers will find you. But if you've got something that other people are selling, you know, like you're making beautiful wreaths for the front door, even if yours are very unique, there are still a lot of other people listing beautiful wreaths for people's front doors. So you're going to have to do something besides just list it on eBay. That was a long answer, but I hope it made sense.
No, definitely. That definitely makes sense. So then I'm curious, what are those strategies that are working best today for eBay sellers to be found?
In the back in the day, you could list anything and sell it. Now, to get people's attention, you really need to have a lot of the same item. So it makes a lot more sense now on eBay to have a niche store, to choose your niche, you know, find something like if you're selling to busy moms, you know, that's a niche and you can sell all the different things that busy moms need. Or if you're selling to business women and you're listing all of the clothing and, you know, leather attaché cases, et cetera, things that they need. Find an audience, find a customer, and build your items in your store around that customer, or you'll have a lot more success. Number one, every listing that you list is directed towards that same audience, so they each bring traffic and they feed off of each other. Number two, it's a lot easier to market a store that is cohesive. So if I've got stuff from all over the place, whatever I find at yard sales, which is what I used to list on eBay, it's very difficult to market that store, you know, because it goes to anybody could be your customer. If I'm listing all things that go to moms of young children, or I'm listing all things that go to retired men, it's much easier to market it because then you just find out where those people are hanging out and make sure you're advertising or posting in the places where your customers are hanging out. So having a niche or a very narrow area of expertise in your eBay store is a really good thing now.
So you mentioned that early on you were buying used items at yard sales and thrift stores. Are you now switching over to buying in bulk? And if so, how do you find your products?
Yes, actually I am switching over to buying in bulk. I'm doing a lot of wholesale and also doing liquidation. As we were talking about earlier, I think that focusing your eBay store to a niche audience is what helps you with your sales and your marketing on eBay nowadays. It's not good enough to be a Walmart and have a little bit of everything. So that doesn't lend itself to going out to thrift stores and yard sales like I used to. I'm doing a lot more liquidation sourcing, which is buying, you know, returns or overstocks, and that's a lot of one thing, or going to wholesale sources and buying one thing. And where do you find your stuff is the number one question I get from everybody at every level. And what I'd like to get across to the audience right now is that is the least of your worries. I know it seems that way. It seems very confusing and how do I find stuff? But honestly, there is so much stuff out there just in the world of wholesale. I'm bombarded. I have a stack of 40 or 50 contacts every day that I don't get through that just keep adding to places that want to sell to you wholesale. So finding things to sell is not the hardest part. Sorting through those and finding the profitable items, that's difficult. Don't be afraid of what you're going to find out there. So yes, I do a lot of wholesale and a lot of liquidation because it helps me narrow down into a niche to attract a certain kind of customer.
So it sounds like since there are many different items out there that you could potentially sell within your niche, maybe the harder part is the marketing, is the getting people to, okay, so find out about your store. So what are some of those top tips for marketing an eBay store?
Okay, well, you start small. Make sure eBay gives you, when you get an eBay store, a lot of people think of it like it belongs to eBay. Think of your eBay store as a website. Because for $15 a month for the lowest level of store, eBay gives you an unimaginable suite of tools to do marketing. You can go in and change all of the SEO top keywords of every page in your store. And as far as pages, you have up to 300 pages. So you're getting a website. When you pay eBay $15 a month, you're getting a possible website with built-in SEO and up to 300 pages. So think of it like that and treat it like a website. Name the store pages so that it makes sense to somebody in Google searching for your product. Work on the keywords that are for each page of your store. In eBay, you can do that. I'm talking with my hands because I'm trying to say, here's where you go and do this. eBay gives you a newsletter that's just as good as a lot of the other outside newsletter services. You can only market your eBay products on it, but it's a full-service newsletter. So the first marketing thing I would say for an eBay seller is make sure they're using all the tools that eBay gives you for free along with your store. They have a newsletter. You can print out marketing flyers to put in with your packages. You can have an eBay About Me page that talks about you and links to your Facebook page and your other social media profiles. There's a lot of marketing right within your eBay store. And if you're an eBay seller and you have a store, just go into the eBay Manage My Store and just play around and look at all the different things they give you. eBay gives you traffic reports and store reports. You can see what words people are looking for and what pages of your store they're spending time on. And that'll help you see how much content to create for those customers to come see your eBay store.
I had no idea that eBay was that sophisticated with all of the reports and all of the basic website setup that you can do with them. That's really interesting to know.
I've actually done like a 4-hour class just on eBay stores because the main preconception people have is it's like an eBay auction. But once you buy that eBay store, it is, just like you said, it is your own website. And if you take ownership of it and realize what you can control, it's huge.
Okay, so the $15 a month gives you what they call an eBay store, and that is different from time to time when I've had something I want to get rid of and I just post it as an individual selling on eBay.
Yes.
So this is very different.
Absolutely. You can go and list on eBay, you know, once in a while and no worries. But if you want to build a presence on eBay, you really should explore the stores. And the basic store is $15 a month. There's a premium store that's $50, and there's an anchor store that's more than that. But the basic store solves most people's problems, and you get a total of 300 pages, and those are category pages and product pages. But you get 15 pages of content that you can just put up content about yourself and your products on the web.
That's excellent. It sounds like it really is an easy way to get started selling online versus, you know, the overwhelm that can come from setting up your own website and hosting and how to enable shopping on your own website and all of those things.
eBay is a very low barrier to entry platform. If someone is new to e-commerce and they just want to get a taste, eBay is the best training ground anywhere. I really believe that. You can sell things and you can make a little money or lose a little money and learn so many lessons. Learn about SEO, learn about HTML, learn about newsletters, all for very little cost.
So, Kat, I know you mentioned that one of the other issues is making sure you're making a good profit on those items you sell within your shop. Can you talk to us a little bit more about that and if you have any tips for new sellers to ensure they're making a good profit?
Absolutely. I know that eBay has confusing fees because you get a lot of free listings, but then if you don't, it's a listing fee. And then there's a final value fee. And then there's a final value fee on shipping. And then there's the PayPal. So it gets kind of confusing. But if in your mind you can just assume that you're going to be paying 20 to 25% of everything you sell to PayPal and eBay for fees, That's a very high, generous estimate. Most of the time, you won't need to pay that. If you sell more expensive items, the fees will be a smaller percentage. If you sell lower, less expensive items, $10 and under items, it will be right at that 25% thing. So keep that in mind. When you sell for $10, you're actually getting $7.50. And if you can understand that bottom line, it'll go a long way towards making sure that you are actually profiting. For new sellers, I tell them to go shop around their own house first. Almost everybody, the average American household, has $3,000 worth of merchandise in their house that's not even opened. You know, gifts, things they bought ahead, those kinds of things. So if you look around your house and find the clothes your kids have outgrown, the games they no longer play with, the books that you got for your birthday that you really don't want, CDs, DVDs, movies, makeup that you bought and never opened, all of those kinds of things, those are zero cost items. And they really, really help you get started and understand the listing process, the photography process, the shipping process, without having all that money at stake in those nerves. So I advise you start around your house. And then at very low cost places. I know I said you can't, you know, really build your store with yard sales and garage sales, but you can get started at yard sales and garage sales. There's a lot of merchandise out there for low cost for you to learn the ropes, more or less, of e-commerce before you call up a wholesaler and buy $500 worth of something.
And when people start to list their items, do you recommend the auction method or do you like the buy it now method?
I love the auctions, but they just don't seem to be bringing the money like they used to. So I recommend people list at the buy it now. And I also recommend you use eBay's best offer feature. It's almost like a reverse auction. So I could list something at $40 and put a best offer. And then somebody could offer me $25 for it. And depending on the day and how I felt, I might accept it. But you know, make your buy it now price what you'd be happy to sell it for, maybe a little more, and leave that buy it now button for some wiggle room. People on eBay are more and more impatient. People in general, more and more impatient. And many people don't want to wait for that auction to happen, to end.
So, Kat, I know you mentioned that eBay itself has, you know, a suite of tools available to get started marketing your shop. But do you have other methods of marketing you recommend that are beyond eBay and outside of the tools that they have?
Oh, absolutely. There is so much social media marketing going on out there that it's really a lot of fun and it's a lot of people. Facebook, the average person spends 20 minutes a day on Facebook. That's a huge long time. So Facebook is huge. YouTube with its videos is amazing. Google loves YouTube. And you can also put your YouTube videos inside your eBay listings. So that's even big. What the main thing is to find out is where are your customers hanging out. If you're selling to moms of preschoolers, are they hanging out on Facebook and talking to each other there? And if they are, then that's where you want to be talking about your product. If you're talking to a very, very young audience, college age maybe, they are all over Instagram and Snapchat. So you want to find a way to get your products and your information to Instagram and Snapchat. Pretty much Facebook works for almost all audiences, not every single one, but Facebook is a great place. Pinterest is really big for visuals. The main thing is you could spend all day on these social media platforms marketing your items. So you have to kind of tie a life raft around yourself so you can get out of there. I recommend a timer. So I'm going to go on Facebook and I'm going to spend 15 minutes making connections and supplying information for my ideal target in a Facebook page or group. And then I'm going to post one maybe product link. And then, you know, if I want to go back to Facebook later and just hang out with my friends, I can do that. But for work, set a timer and don't, because you can lose yourself. We all know, you know, Facebook blindness. You get in there and 3 hours later, you're like, wow. So, you know, get a limit set on yourself. But Facebook is really good for marketing, especially eBay items. And then YouTube, again, I said, even product videos. I have a stuffed animal called Biff, B-I-F-F, Biff the Bear, and he talks. I received this item when I was 4 years old for my birthday. So obviously it's a very vintage, antique type item. I found one and I decided to sell it and I made a little YouTube video about 40 seconds long of Biff the Bear to show people, hey, yes, he does talk and his mouth works. That video has been up since 2008. It's got like 50,000 views. I long ago sold Biff the Bear, but that video is still getting attention on YouTube. So even just a simple video of whatever you're selling to show people, here's what the back looks like, here it does work, videos are big.
Do you put the video, like if let's say it's a product you consistently carry in your shop, do you put a link to that video mm-hmm. with the product so they can get a better visual on it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if you go to YouTube and search embed in eBay, they'll show you how to find the code for your video so that if somebody finds my Biff Bear listing, for instance, on eBay and they scroll down to the description, the video will actually show up right there. You don't even have to click the link. It just shows up in the eBay listing.
Neat. I could see how that could be very helpful
very cool.
for like complicated products, or I know lately my youngest son, he's been watching all these like product kid toys demonstration videos.
Yes.
And he like gets really into that. So I could see if you were selling that product on eBay, having that video companion would be helpful.
It's genius, especially if you're selling like vintage Christmas items. You can show that, yes, they still work. They still play music. A friend of mine was selling a gift card, and she actually played a video of her calling the 800 number and verifying that the card number was good. And she, you know, blocked out the information so somebody couldn't steal the information and use it, but it showed the person possibly buying the gift card that this was a valid gift card they weren't going to get taken advantage of.
That's really smart.
I was amazed.
So once you've found some initial customers for your niche shop on eBay, what are some methods that you can keep those customers happy and keep them coming back for more?
That is a great question. It's all about getting them to know, like, and trust you. That's the backbone of the internet. People buy from people they know, like, and trust. So as soon as you've got a customer, you want to make sure that you can keep that connection. So you want to try to get them to opt into your email list. You want to put something in their package that's going to wow them. So when you're packing up that used toy that you sold or that piece of clothing they bought, you want it to look like a gift. We're strange people, we humans. Even though we paid for something, when it comes in the mail or UPS man delivers it and we open it, in our mind, it's a gift. So you want them to open that and go, wow, you know, so it's a wow moment, not an, oh, well, you know, you don't want to just roll it up and throw it in the box and mail it off. You want to fold it neatly. Maybe you even want to use tissue paper or a pretty sticker. You want to put some kind of little freebie in there, a little hand sanitizer. I've gotten rave feedback for putting a little peppermint in the package. Just some little thing that's a little bonus that says, I appreciate you as my customer. And then you can even put, you know, a note. If you can print them out on little postcards and just handwrite your name, anything to make them feel like you're a real person and they're connecting with you. The critical thing for going forward is trying to get them on that newsletter. That gives you permission to communicate with them and to keep giving them information. And when you communicate with them, make sure it's not all about you. Make sure it's all about them. So the newsletters you're going to send out, we're going to have a coupon code for them, or they're going to have a little small article, a piece of information that will help them make their life easier. So make sure that your marketing is all about them, and you'll have no problem keeping your clients.
So what are some of the maybe biggest pitfalls of eBay, or maybe your biggest lesson learned on eBay through all your years of selling?
Oh, that's a great question. I call that my $6,000 Beanie Baby lesson. Remember I told you I started out on Beanie Babies? Well, I was a stay-at-home mom, and I did have no intention of having a business, but these Beanie Babies started selling like crazy at this little antique shop, and I was buying them on eBay and selling them at this little antique shop I had a spot in, and the money was incredible. And I couldn't keep them in stock, and it was very addictive. And I didn't know enough about business to know that I was dealing with a fad, okay? So what happened was when the Beanie Babies stopped selling and the fad started dying, I had $6,000 worth of Beanie Babies because I kept putting my money back into more inventory because they were doing so well. So that was my big lesson. Know when you're selling a fad and get out. So that would be a lesson I learned. For newbies on eBay, usually the biggest problem is thinking they're making money when they're not, because they see the money going to PayPal, but they forget about all the little things coming out. So number one, know if what you're selling is a fad and don't get stuck with $6,000 worth of inventory. And number two, make sure you know the cost of everything you're doing, your inventory, your internet, your eBay store, all those costs, so that you know you actually are making money.
Excellent advice. So I know you have been looking into the future of eBay as well. Do you have any wisdom you can give to all of us on where things are headed with eBay?
Well, eBay is going up for sale. We all know that. It's not going to happen until Q4 of this year, so the end of this year. We had just had a show about that with two experts, and they have very different opinions. So either what will happen is Mr. Devin Wenig, who's going to be the head of the eBay marketplace, will keep eBay as separate marketplace and hopefully go back to its roots and build it back up. That's what we're all hoping for. The other possibility is a sale. eBay's been an icon for so long. You know it's an icon when you start seeing it in sitcom TV. Okay. When people refer to eBay on television, you know, when the Big Bang Theory mentions eBay, you know, okay, we're in, all right, we're part of the conversation now. So I really don't see it just going away, fading into the sunset. I see either a big company purchasing it, keeping the brand and trying to rejuvenate it, or Mr. Wenig himself trying to rejuvenate the brand and bring it back to where it was. eBay still has between 60 and 110 million people every month that view it. So it's not by any stretch of the imagination fading away right now, but it has lost a lot of its mojo with Google. And so hopefully the new management or the new owner can take care of that problem and we'll get back on our feet.
Kat, I know you also sell on Amazon. Could you kind of walk us through the pros and cons of selling on eBay versus selling on Amazon?
Amazon selling for an experienced seller, I think, is much easier. Because I use their Fulfillment by Amazon, their FBA program, a lot of the packing, shipping, customer service, all of that is outsourced, and I don't have to worry about that. So it's less work. The main change, I think, between eBay and Amazon is that Amazon has a much bigger audience at this point. eBay still has those 60 million or 100 million people coming every month, but they're not buying as much as they used to. Amazon customers buy a lot more. So the sales are bigger, in my experience, on Amazon. The profit margin is bigger on Amazon, and the customers are less maintenance on Amazon. That said, I stand by what I said earlier, that I think for a new entrepreneur, a new e-commerce person, eBay is the place to start to learn those skills, to learn what e-commerce is and what it takes and about customer service and that kind of thing. Once you learn that, I think you should look at the Amazon marketplace because the audience there is much, much bigger.
Compared to eBay, on Amazon, getting those repeat customers, though, is a little bit harder. It's more based upon volume of people looking on Amazon, not really developing that repeat customer business. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yes, you have the nail on the head right there. Here's the difference. eBay will let you build your own business. They'll let you have a website and, to a limited extent, market it. They'll let you build your brand, so to speak, and build your customer base. If you move to Amazon, you have to accept the fact that, except in very limited circumstances, you are nothing but an Amazon order filler. You are just filling orders for them. You are more or less Amazon's drop shipper. Amazon is not a customer acquisition channel. So you can't sell on Amazon to try to build Kat's Closet, because most of the people that buy from me on Amazon never even realize they're buying from me. In their mind, they're just buying from Amazon.
That's a great point, Kat. So it definitely sounds like there's pros and cons to both platforms.
Absolutely. There's a place for both, and it depends on your business model. If you want to have your own business for a long term and you want to build your brand, build your newsletter, you really should be focusing on eBay, because they'll let you do that and they'll help you do that. But if you are just looking for some fast cash infusion, you want to move a lot of product and make a lot of cash, Amazon is an opportunity you can't miss.
So, Kat, I know that people can find you on thatkat.com, and clearly you have a lot of knowledge on a lot of e-commerce topics and a lot of experience to back up that knowledge. So what are some of the resources that you have on your website teaching people how to do e-commerce?
Oh, well, thanks for asking. I was a stay-at-home mom for many, many years, and that is what I really feel like called to do, is to help other moms be able to support their families and stay at home and raise their children. So there's a lot of resources on That Cat. I have That Cat sales tax. I help people with sales tax. I do webinars about eBay and Amazon. I have a weekly radio show at thatcatradio.com that I teach about Amazon, eBay. I bring people on, experts that talk about different topics. And so just, you know, if you sign up for thatcat.com and the newsletter, I can keep in touch with you about all of that.
That sounds great. So, Kat, do you have any online tools or apps that are just your go-to resources?
My favorite tool, online tool, is Google, because I love the Google Documents. I love Google Drive. I love Google Spreadsheets, Google Photos. You can share so many things. Google enables me to work with a team across the internet or across the world. So I love that. And most of it's free. I think I pay like $5 a month for extra storage, which most people won't use. But if you don't have a Gmail account, get one and check out the Google Drive and all the things that are available there. The other thing that I love is Asana, which is asana.com. And it's also free for small teams. And Asana is a way of organizing a project into all the steps you need to make it come true. Like you guys both know, with a podcast, there's all these steps. You know, there's scheduling and mailing and editing and all of these different steps to go on. And as you grow, you know, you'll have, okay, my VA is going to do that for me, or my husband's going to do this for me, or Sarah's going to do this and Beth's going to do that. So you can assign tasks in Asana and put due dates and keep in touch with your team. So it's a really cool tool, and it's free also.
That does sound like a great tool, and we haven't heard that mentioned before. So we'll definitely check it out.
I feel like I've heard of Asana before, but I did not know that it was free.
Yeah. So, well, there's a paid version. I think if you want to have more than, like, I have two people or three or four, but I think if you want to have like 20 people, you pay. But for us, it's free.
Great.
So who is on your team, Kat? Who do you need behind the scenes to get everything done?
Oh, there's a lot of people. Joe edits all the audio files from my radio show. Kelly handles my Facebook page and posts on my Facebook page for me. Anne is my executive VA, and she makes appointments and handles all the stuff behind the scenes for that. Kim works here at my house every day. She's over there taking pictures right now, so she takes pictures and does eBay listings. So there's a lot of us.
Fun.
I noticed too, Kat, that you had several different resources about how to hire VAs and work with VAs and things like that. So I'll definitely be checking those out on your site.
Brad DeGraw is the gentleman that I connected with to make the podcast and the webinar about international VAs. And he just recorded an update to that last week. So it should be on the site really soon.
Well, Kat, we have certainly learned a lot, and we are so glad you took the time to chat with us today. We normally end with a funny or adorable mom moment, but maybe in this case you could give us a funny or adorable grandchild moment that you've had recently.
Oh, that would be awesome. It's kind of a bittersweet one because my grandbaby Bennett is sick. So they were away in Texas and they just came home. And they stopped by. They had driven all the way from Texas back here to Arkansas. And their mother, my daughter-in-law, called me and said, okay, Bennett says we can't go home till we come see Nona. So they got here and they opened the door and he came running and he goes, Nona, Nona, I'm sick, I'm sick. And he was just so pitiful.
Aww.
He wanted a Nona kiss to be better. So that was my newest adorable moment.
That's sweet.
So, Kat, as we wrap up, can you tell everyone one more time where the best place to find you is?
Awesome. You can find me at thatcat, thatcat.com.
Great. Thank you so much, Kat.
Thank you, ladies. Have a great day, even after nap time.
We'll try.
Bye-bye.
For the show notes, head over to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/83, and you'll find all of the information that Kat talked about in this episode, as well as links to any resources she mentioned, and a link to thatcat.com. I hope you're having a wonderful day. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant. Which you already are, but you know, it's what we say at the end of every episode.